Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Smith the U.S. History Audio Boom Podcast. On the last episode, we talked about George Washington's domestic policy, and by that we mean his policy within the country. On today's episode, we are discussing his foreign policy. And so this is the policy that he has towards other nations. And so George Washington had a difficult challenge with his domestic policy, being the first president and trying to set the structure of the country right so that it stayed in place and it could endure and last for time. But he will be also very challenged by his foreign policy. And the biggest area of foreign policy challenge for about the next 2-3 decades for American presidents in the early part of American history is going to revolve around France and Europe. So what will occur is George Washington takes office. And not long after he does this, George Washington will experience the outbreak of what we call the French Revolution. In France, the government under Louis the 16th will go into a state of collapse. And so if you've ever seen Les Misérables, it's all about this collapse of the French government, the frustrations that a lot of the common people have that spill over into open revolution, and the king and his wife are both killed, they both have their heads cut off, and the people rise up in open rebellion. And France is going to sort of eventually move towards a more democratic system. On a continent that is full of kings and queens, of monarchies. And so France is breaking out into open democracy, and it's the scariest thing ever. If you are a British king, or a German, or Austrian, or Prussian king, if you are one of these kings and queens, you are watching democracy spring up next door, and you are worried about, will it spread to my country? My citizens want that too, and then they'll come and they'll cut off my head as well. So what very quickly happens is that all of Europe is going to be fighting France, and that is going to create a big problem for us, because the United States and France are in an alliance. So to backtrack just a little bit, back to the American Revolution, as Americans, we like to forget that we were assisted quite heavily during the Revolution by both the French and the Spanish. And the French help us in a huge, huge way by giving us a navy and some of their army and funding, and it's very helpful. And they always thought that if they were ever in the same position, that due to this Franco-American alliance, that we would come to their aid. So when this revolution kicks into high gear, it creates a real test for Washington and his cabinet. The two parties that we talked about, the Federalists were pro-British. The Democratic Republicans, meanwhile, were pro-French. And so there's debate within George Washington's cabinet about what he should do. Now, you have option one, side with France, fight with France. You have option two, side with the British, fight with the British, and some people have that idea. But what George Washington will choose is option three. This is not our fight. We're going to stay out of it, and we're not going to get hurt. And so George Washington chooses a path that we call neutrality, and he will set a course of trying to avoid war and trying to avoid being pulled in. And George Washington is going to succeed in this. He keeps us out of war and what's going on in France. But what we need to go ahead and tell you right now, and this is a spoiler alert for American history, is that even though George Washington's able to do it, does not mean that later presidents will be able to. So that we'll see by the second, third, and fourth president, it's getting harder and harder to keep us out of this war. And the European nations begin to come more and more aggressive, and the pressure keeps building and building. Eventually, we're going to get sucked into it, but not while George Washington is in office. So, to sort of sum that up, George Washington keeps us out of war in Europe and what's going on there. There's another foreign policy point or two that we need to make very quickly. One other point is that Thomas Pinckney's a guy, and he helps to create a treaty with Spain. And that treaty, what it allows us to do is to access the port of New Orleans. And you will end up hearing quite a bit about New Orleans in American history. And there's good reason for this. If we are a nation of farmers, which is what we are at the time, farmers needed to move their goods, and there was no more efficient way of moving those goods cheaply, quickly to market than by boat and by ship, especially down the Mississippi River. And when you got down to the bottom of the Mississippi River, it had to go through the port of New Orleans. So what will occur is Pinckney negotiates with Spain, who then controlled New Orleans, and he gets us access to the Mississippi and access through the port of New Orleans so that we can move our goods out into the Gulf and move them around to the major cities and places where those farmers can sell those goods. And so Pinckney successfully does that, and for a nation of farmers, that's very helpful. So that's another big foreign policy point. So having made those points about foreign policy, we now need to talk about the end of George Washington's presidency. At the end of George Washington's presidency, 1796, George Washington will deliver what we call his farewell address. His farewell address is a speech. In that speech, one of the main points, again, that he talks about is that foreign policy part. He warns about political parties because they frustrate him, and he's tired of them already. First president, first political parties, he's already sick of them. With foreign policy, he says this. He says we need to avoid entangling alliances. In other words, we can't get tangled up with being friends with France or friends with England. If we do this, we will get pulled into a war that we cannot win, and we will only get hurt. So George Washington's final warning is about how to avoid this conflict, and that we need to avoid this conflict, and that we need to sort of set our own course independent of Britain or France. And an important point here to close the podcast, George Washington also, he steps down after two terms. To four-year presidential terms. When he does this, it creates another one of those precedents, precedent. He creates another precedent by stepping down out of office after two terms. George Washington knew that it was not the best thing for him to continue to stay in power, and that a democracy needed a president who would say, you know, I don't need to run this country forever. And it's good that I step down and that power has a peaceful transition to the next guy, to the next leader. And so this is a very valuable precedent that George Washington as president sets for the country. So again, there was nothing about that in the Constitution. About how many terms, but he creates that. So thank you guys for listening. Send me a direct message through Edmodo if you need to. Otherwise, shoot me an email, gsmitheuy@ccisd.net. Thank you.